This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's March 24th, and today we're talking about two boxing matches that had significant impacts for completely different reasons. First, let's go back to 1962 and a fight between Emil Griffith and Benny Kid Perrette. This was a welterweight fight in Madison Square Garden and shown live on ABC for its Friday night fights. The max for a welterweight is 147 pounds. This was the third fight between these two, with Griffith winning by knockout in the 13th round 11 months earlier, and Perrette winning the rematch by split decision 5 months before this one. So this is the third fight between these two in less than a year. But Perrette had also fought in November, so overall, this was his fourth fight in a calendar year. So one thing to know before talking about what happened on this night, Griffith considered himself bisexual. He was not out at this point, that wouldn't happen until the 1980s, but he was taunted with homophobic slurs by other boxers, and especially Perrette in the lead-up to this fight. Perrette, who was Cuban, denigrated Griffith at the weigh-in in Spanish. Griffith wanted to fight Perrette on the spot, but was restrained. Griffith was a reluctant fighter, according to his biography written by Ron Ross, but he used his success as a fighter to bring his family to New York from the Virgin Islands, and so stepped into the ring again on this night. Perrette was nearly able to defend his title after a flurry of punches in the sixth round stung Griffith, but the bell sounded and both fighters retreated to their corners. The fight progressed into the 12th round. Griffith backed Perrette into a corner and unleashed punch after punch to the title holder's head, and Perrette stopped defending himself. He was dazed, but the referee, Ruben Ruby Goldstein, did not step in to stop the barrage. Griffith admitted years later in a documentary about this fight that he was extremely angry at Perrette for what he had said in the lead-up, and he unleashed his fury at that moment. It wasn't until after 29 punches landed, all to his head, that Goldstein finally stepped in and halted the fight. Perrette immediately slumped to the mat. The initial thought was Perrette was just exhausted, but it was much more than that. He was completely out and soon fell into a coma. He was taken to a hospital, but he never regained consciousness. He died 10 days later at Roosevelt Hospital from a massive brain hemorrhage. There was so much controversy in this fight. First, Goldstein was criticized for obviously not stepping in sooner when it was apparent that Perrette had stopped defending himself. Goldstein never refereed another fight. Second, as I said earlier, this fight was broadcast live on ABC, and it was the first use of slow-motion replay for a boxing telecast. Griffith was interviewed in the ring after the fight was called. ABC showed slow-mo replays of the final 29-punch barrage to Griffith as Perrette slowly drifted into a coma feet away, with the announcer remarking about how beautiful the camera work was. Because of this fight, boxing was banned from television until the 1970s. And lastly, Perrette's manager was a man by the name of Manuel Alfaro, who saw Perrette as nothing more than a payday every time he stepped into the ring. Alfaro pushed him to fight as often as he did, and instead of going after weaker opponents to tune up, he kept putting him in fights with tough opponents, and he took a beating. But the most egregious part of all of that is that when Alfaro got to his dying fighter moments after he slumped to the canvas, He said, "Now I have to go find a new boy." Griffith continued to box after this fight, but he was continually haunted by it, talking of waking from nightmares and a cold sweat. In the documentary, Perrette's son, who was an infant at the time of the fight, met with Griffith. He gave him a hug and he forgave him for what happened on this night in 1962. Okay, it seems a little bit wrong to go from that brutal boxing story to this one, but please forgive me. The nature of my This Day podcast leaves me with but two choices. Talk about this now or wait a year. So apologies for going into it, but I think you'll like this story. It has a happier ending. So in 1975, Muhammad Ali stepped into the ring with Chuck Wepner, who was known as the Bayonne Bleeder because he was known for being able to take a punch. Well, lots of punches. Wepner said he had his nose broken 9 times in his 16-year boxing career and had more than 300 stitches to close a variety of wounds. So, yeah, he bled a lot and would bleed again in this fight. Don King was the promoter for this fight, and he labeled it "Give the White Guy a Chance" fight. Wepner surprised a lot of people in this one, knocking Ali down in the 9th, and then taking the fight to the 15th before it was stopped for cuts over both of Wepner's eyes and a broken nose. Just before the fight was called, there was this funny exchange between Wepner and referee Tony Perez. Perez asked Wepner, "Chuck, how many fingers do I have up?" To which Wepner replied after looking at his hand, "How many guesses do I get?" But why am I talking about this fight? Well, there happened to be a guy named Sylvester Stallone who watched this fight on television that night. At the time, Stallone was struggling as an actor in off-Broadway shows and the occasional role in a short film, but Wepner's surprising performance in this one inspired him to begin work on a certain screenplay that we all know today as Rocky. Stallone sold the rights, and then he contacted Wepner to let him know he was the inspiration. In the early 2000s, Wepner sued Stallone, claiming he was promised compensation, but he had never been paid anything. The case was eventually settled out of court for an undisclosed amount. Wepner once said, "Without my story, Rocky would have been nothing but a tale. Nobody would believe it." And it goes back to what happened on this day in 1975. In 1991, Ayrton Senna won the Brazilian Grand Prix on his home course. With 7 laps to go, his gearbox began to fail, and by the time he crossed the line as the winner, he was left with only 6th gear. And in 2001, Arizona Diamondback pitcher Randy Johnson was pitching in a spring training game against the San Francisco Giants when a bird flew between the pitcher's mound and home plate at precisely the wrong time. Johnson's pitch struck the bird, instantly killing it and disintegrating it into an explosion of feathers. Finally, here's today's non-sports did you know. NASA got the idea to count down rocket launches from 10 from a 1929 German sci-fi movie called The Woman in the Moon. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. 6 of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote. Cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all 6 of them. Again, every vote counts, and we got to show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.